Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, recorded live on Facebook, Reconciled to You, and distributed through Breadbox Media. I am joined today by my good friend, Mary Lenneberg, and we're going to talk about her new book, Be Bold in the Broken, How I Found My Courage and Purpose in God's Unconditional Love. And before I jump into the book, because I want to talk about as much of it as we can, I thought I would start with my endorsement, because it's all about me, Mary. Thanks for joining me. But I just think that instead of me trying to explain my thoughts on the book, I already did it. So I'll do that. And then I want you to explain your overall concept and what inspired you to write the book. Mary's life has been filled with many shake you to the core moments, yet she kept pushing forward. How? The quiet voice of God was always with her, even when she wasn't ready to listen. A faith and life chock full of courageous moments strung together with all the joy, sorrow, and hope this world has to give. That's what you'll experience in the pages of Be Bold in the Broken.
Very well done.
Thank you. I do that for a living. Available from Ave Maria Press. Mary, this book is your follow-up to Be Brave in the Scared. Tell us about it.
Well, this book is the answer to the question that I get most when I'm on the road with giving retreats and talks around the country. People always ask me, but Mary, this can't be it. This is it. This is my life. This is, what am I supposed to be doing? What is my mission? You keep saying that we have a unique purpose and mission. All of us have a unique purpose and mission. So what is mine? And so I get asked that all the time. And so I thought, why don't I just tell them how I got to where I am?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with my first book, Be Brave and the Scared, was really talking about how my special needs daughter, my daughter Courtney, came into our life and how she was kind of our volcano. And she was the voice of Christ to us. And she changed us. She directed us back to Christ and what she revealed in our life, right? The addiction and the difficulty and how she led us home. In Be Bold in the Broken, we go back to my childhood. There's childhood stories in there that relate to a story in adulthood. So I kind of go back. It's almost like the first story I share, I'm folding socks and I go back to middle school, right? I've had this moment of grievance where I have gossiped about a neighbor and I got caught in the gossip, which is the worst of the worst, right? And I deserve to get caught in the gossip. Let's be clear. I was wrong, fully and completely here, okay? So no pity. Mary should have gotten caught in the gossip. But I'm working through that, right? I'm working through that because I tried for so long to be somebody else. And I share a story about middle school tryouts for cheerleading where I make a split decision that ends badly, mortifyingly badly. Like for the next 2 years of my life, people remind me of this moment. And what it showed me, what it taught me, words my father shared with me, you know, just show up and be you and let God take care of the rest. And then I continue on in the book and I share other stories where, again, that theme keeps coming back. Courage. What is it to be courageous? To believe something about yourself that you know God has placed upon your heart, and to carry it through no matter what the culture says. You know, what is love? And what kind of love was I looking for? You know, where did I feel depleted? Where did I feel engaged? What does healing look like? What does it mean to live out your brokenness boldly? Because that's where God is going to call you. Shocking, surprising, is that in all the places of sin in your world, when you give it to God for him to heal and restore, renew, he's going to use it. Like, he's going to say, thank you, that's beautiful. You're healed now. Now I need you to go out and tell all those stories to the people. Because I need them to know what is possible when we trust God with our life. And so a lot of people have always called me very bold, very brash. I'm too much. Oh, yes, I am too much.
Thankfully, we like how bold and brash and too much you are. Just saying.
And it's okay that I'm too much, because you're not my people. If I'm too much for you, you're not my people. And that's okay. There's somebody else that will inspire you and encourage you. I'm here for those that need brash, bold, loud, and a fabulous statement earring. That's who I'm here for.
And you wear them well, all of them. I'm going to step back a little bit to what you said about the gossip, you know, being caught in that. I was one of those people who, when Jesus started to call me back, you know, my reversion, this was my sticking point, Mary. This is what I had a hard time with. If I don't have gossip, God, what am I going to say? No one's going to find me interesting. No one's going to want to be around me. I thought that gossip was my superpower, what I had to offer. And you know, it's being caught in those moments that really God puts you with the humility, and he teaches you, this is not how I've created you. Like, this is not, you have so much more to say. And once I trusted him, like you just said, like once I trusted him with my life, once I said, okay, I'm going to put away the gossip. You tell me what to say. Like Jeremiah, you put the words in my mouth. And suddenly I found I had a lot to say that I didn't know I had said. And I was grateful to give up that gossip and to open up my mouth and speak truth and love and kindness and positivity. I didn't know I had all that, because I, like you, didn't think I had anything to offer.
Yeah,
I'm not cool. I'm not tall. I'm not pretty. I'm not all those things I thought that I needed to be. And I'm going to just read a little bit from your book, just a sentence here, and I'd love to get your reaction to it. God, the title is What God Sees. God created each one of us in his image and likeness, but we often try to be someone other than who he made us to be. It's as if we see who we are and say to God, actually, I like that gift and that talent. And I have heard women say that maybe it's a saint of some sort, that a comparison is the stealer of joy. Mm-hmm. And my good friend Lori, that we just lost, she used to say, and I love this, she's like, you compare your blooper reel to everybody else's highlight reels.
Yep.
And this is like comparison. We've got envy going, but when we look inside who God created us to be, we're going to find a pretty amazing person. Tell me a little bit about why you've included this in the broken.
Yeah, because it's the truth. Social media shows us right away comparison, right? So I say three things: celebration, not comparison; joy, not jealousy; encouragement, not envy. Mm-hmm. We have to flip the script in our mind. We have to flip it, or this world literally is going to hell in a handbasket. And we as women are called to step into our feminine genius, into the beauty of who God has made us to be in our uniqueness. We are the heart. We need to start recognizing our role in encouraging other women, in celebrating where they are. I am telling you, the answer to those three things, envy, jealousy, and comparison, are celebration, joy, and encouragement. And I had to make the shift in my mind. When I let go of the gossip, when I let go of the comparison, and I actively sought to celebrate someone that I was so jealous of, and I'm like, dang it, why can't that happen? And I literally said, okay, I'm going to try this. All right, Lord, okay. fine, you didn't give me that, I'll show you. I'm going to try this. And I literally put something up on Instagram. I'm like, I am so excited for this person because they have achieved this goal. And I am so proud of them. And they've worked so hard. And I know how hard that is. So why don't you celebrate with me? And I stepped away from my phone for the rest of the day. I'm like, I did it. Okay. And I prayed for that individual all day long. Prayed for them. Oh. Lord, change my heart. It's St. Elizabeth of Hungary. She had a horrible relationship with her mother-in-law and with her husband. This is not good. And she prayed literally for both of them for years so that she could forgive them. She just would pray, like, Lord, take this hurt and this pain from my heart. Lord, take this jealousy, take this compare to whatever, you know. She just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed to the point where God so transformed her heart that she dealt with both of them with such empathy and compassion that it transformed her life. And I thought, I want that. That's what I want. I don't want to live in comparison. I don't want to live in constantly thinking people are judging me or I'm not enough. I know I'm not enough. I don't need you to tell me I'm not enough. I got that track in my head. We're good. You know, so that's why I go to those things. And so when I came back to my phone, it had imploded. I received a text, a voice text from the individual that I was celebrating. She was crying. Thank you, Mary. You don't know what that means to me. I so look up to you, and I'm so that you would encourage me so publicly when the world looks at us as competitors.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, fine. Point taken. And that changed. That changed everything for me. And that started me on a journey of encouragement to be where I am today.
That's how this podcast started, to be quite honest with you. I was struggling with envy, and I recognized that and prayed about it. And suddenly, God never does anything suddenly. I finally paid attention that the opposite virtue to envy was admiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, admiration? Oh my goodness, I know how to do that. Instead of being all about me, I'm going to talk about these women who inspire me,
yep,
whose work has changed my life. And it, you know, every time I met one of these women, I've been doing as a radio show and now as a podcast for almost 6 years, which is crazy. And every single time I got off the podcast or radio show with these people, with these women, these, even some of these men, I thought, oh, they're just humans. They're in this struggle with me. They don't feel any better about themselves some days than I do.
Yeah.
But God has given them this message specifically for them to share. And all they've done differently is they said yes. Mm-hmm. And God allowed them. They allowed God to work in them. And I think that works with everything across the board. Whatever it is you are envious about, when you admire, and like you said, I love that word, celebrate what they're doing. Huge difference. And look down now in chapter 3, the courage to be real. You wrote, God and I have always, not always, communicated well. I know, shocking, right? I keep him at arm's length, and he put me in the penalty box. I saw him only as judge and jury, yet kept trying to convince me to turn my heart towards him. He pursued me even when I had the love this Mary, do not disturb sign on the door of my heart. It's just that he expected too much and I was not ready to give it. Mm-hmm. What changed? What allowed you to turn that, you know, that sign over to vacancy? Welcome. Come on in. Lights on for you.
To see myself as he sees me.
Yeah.
To try and imagine. You know, I work with a lot of women who are walking through tremendous discouragement, difficulty, and hardship in their lives. My husband calls them sad puppies. He's like, you always find the sad puppies. I said, no, they're not sad. They just need a rest for a while. The world is hard for them and they need to rest and they need to really discover who they are. And for me, that was a big turning point, to be courageous enough to not only look at myself and imagine how God sees me, but also to receive that.
Mm.
I had to learn how to receive his love. I didn't feel worthy of his love. You know, I was sitting, God was judgment to me. You know, God the Father was judgment. I hadn't fallen in love with Jesus, my beloved, yet. That was like, no, we don't need a beloved. You know, I've got a husband. I'm good. I don't need another one, right? I don't need another one. And it was really through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the great encourager, right? He's the superhero of encouragement. And he goes against the deceiver and the superhero of lies every single day. And when I finally was able to receive what God, the promises and the truth of what God says about me, I am his daughter. I am made in his image and likeness. There is no flaw within me. In his eyes, I am perfect. And it was through Courtney, our daughter, where I really learned that. Because see, Courtney couldn't do anything to earn your love. She was disabled. She never walked. She never talked. She wasn't going to earn your respect. She just had it because she was. And yet we spend all of our time trying to earn, trying to earn, trying to do, trying to be. And I had to receive. I had to literally be still and know that he is God. And everybody always holds that scripture up as some beautiful, wonderful moment. It was not a beautiful, wonderful moment for me. It was painful because I thought I knew better. And it was, you know, a moment of great humility for me to stop and say, okay, if I receive this, if I receive how you really see me, then I have to live like I believe it.
Yeah.
Are we living as Christians like we really believe that God is God and we are not? Are we living in the truth of the resurrection? Because you can't have the resurrection without Good Friday. You can't have the good without the suffering. You can't have the good without the hard. They go hand in hand, joy and sorrow, hand in hand. It's life. And when we try to fix it and get comfortable, that's when we start listening to the lies. And I was listening to the lies and I was seeking. I was grasping like Eve. And I didn't need to grasp. God was handing it to me. And I just needed to receive it. And so once I did that, and I'm not saying it's perfect even now. There are still days where I struggle with it. Something will come up, a wounding will come up from my past. I'll be reminded of it. And I have to choose to surrender it again. You know, your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient. I always go back to the story of Paul, right? Like, I've had this thorn in my side, and I've asked him 3 times to take it. Dang it, I guess I'm going to celebrate it because he's not taking it. And that's celebrate that, you know, where he says, boast in your sufferings, right? It's called a sacrifice of praise for a reason. We say it in the Eucharistic prayer in the Catholic Church. We offer you a sacrifice of praise. You know, I have buried a child. Every day I get up, I have to offer a sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
I have buried a parent. Every day I give up, I have to offer a sacrifice. There are broken relationships in my life that only God can heal.
Yeah.
I have to offer a sacrifice of praise. I have to choose and have the courage to choose to live as a true believer, which means God's got it and I don't have to worry about it. I don't need to worry. I don't need to lose sleep. I don't need to be anxious. I just need to trust him with it all. And I have to let go of my expectations on the end result. Because the story he's writing is so much bigger and bolder than I could ever imagine.
I love that, Mary. I love that we have to receive it. We have to live it, but not just live it in our hearts and our homes, but live it beyond that and trust in him to make the way. I think I was very afraid to you know, live my, I remember the first thing one of the first kind of outwardly Christian things I did, I was at this party. And this was back when you didn't have a cell phone yet. Yeah, I am that old. And my Bible was this little tiny Bible that I could still read, even though the print was this big. And I had a giant purse, you know, like you bring everything but the chicken soup. I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say kitchen sink, but whatever.
Yeah.
All of it was in there, right? So I'm at this party and we're drinking wine, having some cheese. I think we're probably buying Tupperware or something, you know, medial. and somebody said something and it triggered a scripture in my head. And without even thinking, I pulled out my Bible and I was like, oh, let me read this to you. And then I read the room. I thought, wow, Lord, this is going to be a little harder than I thought. Like, what has just happened to me? But being bold and who I was and whose I was. And one of the chapters, I love the heading, it's belonging to God. This is actually in the chapter, one of your subtitles is belonging to God. And God wants the same relationship with us, my friend. He desires nothing more for you, you write, than to share everything with him. Being vulnerability is how we build trust. And when I had been in prayer saying, all right, Lord, I trust you to make a way, I'm giving this to you. And then without even thinking, was living it out loud, I thought, oh, okay, he took me up on that. And it wasn't as awful. I mean, sure, those people never invited me back to the party, but that was okay because he brought—
You didn't need Tupperware anyway.
No. And like you said, they weren't my people. And that was part of the learning process. They're still good people. They just weren't the ones that were going to be there to build me up when I needed it. Yeah. And then I started a Bible study in my home. And, you know, little by little, I learned I could live this belonging to Jesus, who I am in my heart, in my home, outwardly. So
you have to remember belonging. To belong is different than to fit in. You know, Brené Brown has a beautiful description of it. To fit in means you're changing something about yourself to fit in with the people you're around. But to belong means nothing is required of you. You are accepted as you are. And we belong to God. Mm. There's not a darn thing we have to change because he created it all. And he takes delight in all of it.
I love that. Now, I had highlighted the very last paragraph of your book because I think it's my favorite. But I'm not going to have a spoiler alert because we're at the end of our time together. I'm going to encourage people to pick up your book, Be Bold in the Broken by Mary Lindenberg. Mary, what would you like to leave us about your book and tell us also how we can get in touch with you, follow you along after this podcast?
I just want people to know that, you know, we're all broken. All of us have a story, and your story is just as important as my story. And what God is doing in your life is just as important as what he's doing in my life. And that we should celebrate one another's stories, you know, and he's going to call you forth in that brokenness differently. You know, I'm called to live a very outward life right now after a season of being home for 27 years, caring and being a caregiver. So it's different, right? So to embrace your different. Different is where we all shine. Yeah. And so that's what I want to leave them with. Like, be bold in that brokenness, be bold in that different. It's okay. He's going to give you a path and a way. And as far as following me, you know, follow me on Instagram at Mary Lindenberg. You can go to my website, marylindenberg.com. We're booking now for the fall of 2021 and 2022, speaking engagements, retreats all over the world. So, you know, just come join the party. We have a good time.
You rock Instagram stories. Like, it's like the highlight of my day. What did Mary do today? Let me go look at Mary.
What did Mary do today?
I love it. Thank you, Mary, so much for spending this time with us today.
Thank you for having me, Allison. It's always a joy to see you.
You as well. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jigris, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.